Thank you. Oh, you don't need, no. You don't need to clap. Well, you can clap again. Hey, it is good to be back, but more than just being good to be back, it's good to be up. If there are children who'd like to go to children's church, please follow the people in the back. Thank you, Jason. As you can tell, we are a family of faith that enjoys each other, and it is good to be able to worship with you guys. It's good to be back up here. I say that, if you don't know why, if you're a guest here, if you've been hiding under a rock, if you don't get the email midweek, if you haven't listened to announcements, I've had a challenging last 6 weeks. Quick update, long story short, in the last 6 weeks, I've had all sorts of blood clots in my arms. In my arm, I should say. I've had one procedure, two surgeries that ended up quite invasive. I've got a hematoma on my neck that makes it feel like somebody's choking me. So if I go down in the middle of the service, someone just pick me back up. Okay? I've spent more time in the last 4 weeks horizontal than I have vertical because it hurts too much to stand up. And I'm exhausted. But I'm here. And it's good to be here this morning. I'm glad to be able to bring you God's Word. I think it's a little bit ironic, or maybe I should say I think God was smiling when we laid out this sermon series. Sermon series is in the book of James. It's called Between Sundays, Following Jesus the Other 6.5 Days a Week. I laid it out in December of last year. So we've known what texts and what days were going to be preached since December of last year. And I think God was smiling when he knew that I'd be coming back preaching a text like today's text on today. So if you got a Bible, turn with me to James chapter 5. You'll get a kick out of it as soon as you see what it is, especially coming off of roughly 6 weeks of sick leave. James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. You can follow along in your Bible or listen, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It says this. James writes, "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. You should rejoice. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human just as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops." That is the word of the Lord to us this morning. What does God want you to hear through it? What does he want me to hear through it? Let's pray. Father, we pause right now, recognizing that we are already in your presence. We have already worshiped in song. We've worshiped in community. We've worshiped thinking of how you're going to use this church this summer. We pause now to ready our hearts to hear what you want to say through your story, through your scripture, through your word to us. Would you give us ears to hear? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the text says, if you're suffering, pray. If you're happy, rejoice, sing songs. If you're sick, pray. Pray a faith-filled prayer and you will be healed. Here's my question. How come I still hurt? How come my arm won't go straight? How come it still feels like somebody's choking me? I've had a lot of people praying for me. A lot of people. Okay, before the surgery, surgeon comes in, gives us the typical pre-surgery spiel, and then one of the anesthesiologists and all the other people who are going to be part of the process leave, he says to Abby and I, he says, "Can I pray for you?" Whew. Put his hand on my arm, sat down and prayed. That was powerful. It was comforting. He did the same thing the next day when he had to do a second surgery to correct the complications from the first surgery. Hand on my arm and prayed. Now, this guy, we knew he was a believer. This guy is a board member at a local church that's doing some phenomenal stuff. So why didn't his prayer work? I've had other people praying for me too. A lot of people. I was sitting at my son's football game, flag football game, 2 weeks ago, I was there. And somebody walked by, I didn't quite recognize it. She said, "James, how are you doing? We've been praying for you while we've been in Europe." I learned this morning from the bishop that people in Hong Kong were praying for me. Through Abby's Facebook page, not mine, through Abby's Facebook page, there are people around the globe praying for me. I got a package of cards from a third and fourth grade class in Minneapolis, St. Paul, a caring club that heard I was sick and sent some cards saying they're thinking of me and praying for me. I'm on multiple churches' prayer chains. Most of you have been praying for me. My family's been praying for me. I've been praying for me. Why do I still hurt? Is it because the people who have visited me in the hospital, the people who have come to my house, laid hands on me, and prayed, are they not the right people? Ooh. Is it because nobody has taken oil yet? Olive oil, avocado oil, oil from the Middle East, motor oil. Nobody's taken olive oil and anointed me and prayed for me yet. Is that why I still hurt? Are their prayers not faith-filled enough? Our text says this, James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, you know, if you're sick, call somebody, let them pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. How about this? Am I still hurting because the people who prayed have not been righteous enough? Next verse, verse 16. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You guys not faithful enough? You not righteous enough? Come on. I mean, you feel a rub? Feel a little bit unsettled? I hope you do, because you guys have been the ones praying for me. I often wonder how often when we pray prayers that don't get answered in the ways that we think or in the manner in which we think, that we go back to a text like this and we wonder, do I not have enough faith? Is there something wrong with my life? Do I need to call somebody else who has that magic connection with God and they'll pray right? Right? I think sometimes a text like this could lead people to think that way. Could lead people to think there is a religious elite that has that direct connection. Certain people you should call. Verse 14 of this chapter says this. Says, are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay, so in our denomination, we use that language of elder. I am an anointed, ordained, there we go. I hope I'm anointed too. But I'm an ordained elder in the Free Methodist Church. Okay, we've got others that are ordained elders in this church. If you are, raise your hand. Keep them up. Okay, we got one here. We got one there. We got one there. We got one there. Mike, you count. Okay, he's ordained through a church in Las Vegas. Okay, Ron, you count. And we've even got the bishop of the Free Methodist Church. Welcome, Marlene. It's so good to have you guys here. It's always a pleasure to have you here. So listen, if you want prayer of somebody who can heal you, look for those hands that were raised, right? A religious elite. These guys know how to pray. Healing, powerful prayers. Dr. James' name drops somebody a couple of verses later, verse 17 and 18. He says this, Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and earth began to yield its crops. Elijah, this was a man who was one of the greatest prophets in the story of Israel. He's a man who had a widow's flour and oil last way longer than it should have so that her life was saved. It was a man who raised a different widow's son from the dead. This was a man who called down fire and whooped a whole bunch of prophets of Baal. This was a guy who walked across the Jordan on dry ground. This was a guy who was taken up to heaven in a fiery chariot. This was a guy who, when he prayed, it didn't rain. And then he prayed 3.5 years later, it rained. Maybe I should have him pray for me. Maybe I'll feel better then, right? A religious elite, is that the type of people we should have praying for us? What about the modern day missionary? This still happens. Not as much in our country, but it still happens. The bishop would be able to tell stories of this. When a missionary goes somewhere and they're in this new village and they're opposed to new faiths, new religions, and yet somebody gets sick and they take them to their medicine men or their shamans and nobody can heal them. And there just happens to be a Christian missionary who comes and, you know, prays for them, lays hands on them, and the person gets healed. And what do you know? This person all of a sudden believes in this Jesus that has healing power. And then the family believes in this Jesus. And then before long, the village believes in this Jesus. So they confess their sins, they're healed. Maybe these are the type of religious elite that we need praying so that we'll be healed. These are probably the people that really truly believed Jesus when he said at the end of Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22, he said this. He said, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do these things and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it." And we've been saying all along in this James series that James gets his information from his half-brother Jesus, so James had to have believed what Jesus said there. Maybe we need more religious elites who can pray like that. I think God was grinning when he knew that I was going to preach this text today. He knew maybe I'd be a little bit more raw, maybe a little bit more blunt, maybe a little bit more candid. As I've wrestled with this text this week, you know, the biggest finger has been my own finger pointing back at me, right? Because I'm an ordained elder. I'm called to lead a group of people, a faith community. If anybody should be righteous, if anybody should have faith-filled prayers, it should be me, right? I mean, that's why the Russian lady who came right before the service, Jason came and got me and says, she wants to talk to the pastor. So she was telling me right before that she's got these voices in her head and she's scared and she's been on websites and she needs help and she wants to know if I can pray for her. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm the right person. Have my prayers for healing been answered? Where's the power in my prayers? Where's the healing power of the prayers that God has called to lead this community of faith? Catch those last three words. Community of faith. You guys want to know where the power is. There is something powerful when the community of faith prays. Something powerful. As I've wrestled with this text, God has pried my eyes open to the fact that there doesn't have to be a religious elite that prays. There's not people who have a different, you know, a more important connection, a direct email to God. No, God's pried my eyes open to the fact that there is power in the normal person praying. A group of normal people praying. Like I mentioned at the beginning, I've had normal people praying, from a surgeon with a scalpel to my cousin's 5-year-old son who comes up to us and says, we need to pray for Cousin James, to people in Hong Kong and Europe, to communities of faith around the city. We have had a group of the community of faith praying for me. There's power in that. And that's in our text. It's visible in our text. It begins like this, James 5, 13 and 14. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? Kind of hard to miss it, but any of you. How about this? Next verse. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Okay, not a trick question. The answer is underlined up there. Who should we confess to? Well done. Who should we pray for? Okay, what will happen when we do that? It's not underlined, but it's the last two words. You're going to be healed, right? Now, let's catch the name drop of Elijah again, but let's not jump to the miracles that he did. Let's look at how James describes him. Verse 17 says this, Elijah was as human as we are. Oh, it's so easy for us to take these stories in the Bible and think, if I was just more like that person. Elijah was as human as we are. There is power in the normal, everyday person praying. There's power in the community of faith that prays. I've experienced this because I'm in the process of being healed. The song that Tim sang at the end, it says, sometimes miracles take time. I don't like that line. Yes, I can raise my arm more today than I could a month ago. But there's a different type of healing that's going on. It's a different type of healing because in the last 6 weeks, I've been reminded of a different sickness. It's a sickness of self that I have. I've talked about this in the past. A sickness of self that I've been chronically ill with since birth. Okay, and this sickness has been revealed through symptoms that have risen to the top in the last 4 weeks, especially the last 6 weeks. Three symptoms of the sickness of self that has risen to the top for me. First is this, I don't do still well. You guys chuckle. You know, when I'm healthy, my day starts about 4 a.m. and I'm pushing hard until about 11 p.m. and I get up the next day and I do it again and again and again. I don't do still well, yet I have been forced to be horizontal for the last 6 weeks. That's a symptom for me. Second symptom, I don't do well letting go of control. I really don't. I like to be in charge. I like to fix things. I like to be in the driver's side of the car, not the passenger side. Say amen after this. I drove to church for the first time in 6 weeks today. Amen. Abby's saying the same thing. We got in the car and there was something right in the world. Oh. I don't do well not being in control. And yet in these last 6 weeks, God has said not only be still, but be still and know that I am God. You're not. I've heard that just about every day. Second symptom. Third symptom. Fear and worry. This may be one of the most chronic symptoms of my sickness of self. I wonder, I worry, where's the money going to come from for the medical bills? And then we get the $97,000 check from the Christian Healthcare Ministries 4 months before it's supposed to get there. I worry when the doctors and PTs don't say you're going to get back to 100% because I fear that I won't be the same person I was before this happened. I fear that maybe I'll fall into patterns in life that I don't want to fall into because of this. You know the most repeated command in Scripture? Fear not. I read once that it was 365 times it said that in Scripture. Jesus talks about do not worry, and yet that's a symptom of the sickness of self that I'm wrestling with. Friends, I'm learning these lessons. I'm realizing that there is sin in here, and it's taken this to remind me of that. And I've been reminded of this because there's been a community of faith that's praying with power. I'm being healed. James 5:15 and 16 says this, if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. I'm confessing this sickness of self to you guys again. It's been revealed to me. You know, I've had countless people last week, especially when I came back, come and say how good it was to see me, and a lot of people say, how are you doing? And one person in particular last week came up to me and said, how are you doing? Really? And they're asking this deeper question, not just what's your pain level when you roll over at night, but how are you doing really? And this person, you know, I shared a little bit with them, and this person went on to share with me how they've had some physical hiccups lately, and it's affected their spirit, their demeanor, their mind as well. And, you know, it wasn't a long conversation, but at the end of it, this person said, quite simply, can I pray for you? can I pray for us? This person laid their hand on me and prayed the most simple prayer. But it was powerful. And it was a balm for my soul. There's power in the normal person praying, in the community of faith praying. So am I healed? I'm in process. I think we all are. So what do we do with this? Well, let's go two things. First, selfishly, keep praying for me, okay? I have a really high pain tolerance, but I'm a sissy when it comes to pain. Okay, I don't like it. It's taking way longer than I wanted, not near as long as the doctor said it would take, but keep praying for me. But pray physically, but also pray that the lessons God wants me to learn, I will. And I will continue to be healed of these other things. Now, the second thing for you guys, here's my question. Are any of you suffering hardships? Are any of you happy? Are any of you sick physically, emotionally, spiritually? If you are, yes, call the elders. Yes, put it on a prayer chain. But call the person who sits next to you on a Sunday morning because they love you. And they're the ones who are doing life with you between Sundays. And as you're on the phone with them, share what's going on. If there's deeper things, if there's sins that need to be confessed, do that. Okay? And watch as healing takes place. Will it take place immediately? Maybe. It can. It does. It still happens. But will it take time? Sometimes miracles take time. It could be that we need to regularly get together with the any of yous, with the each others that we see in this text. Maybe we need to regularly confess, regularly pray, regularly rejoice with each other. Because healing will take place as we do that. So friends, here's how we're going to finish. I'm going to explain this twice. I want to call us as a community of faith to pray for each other. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask you, if you're suffering, if you're rejoicing, if you're sick in any way, just stand. Okay, not yet. But in any way, just stand right where you're at. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to go to the prayer corner. See, in the past, what I've done when we've done this is I've had the board of directors or the pastor's cabinet come and pray for you. I'm not going to do that today. Because what we're hearing today is there's power in the normal, everyday person that prays. So I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. And if somebody stands near you, just stand up with them. If you're comfortable with it, they're comfortable with it, put a hand on their shoulder and pray for them. Okay? It doesn't even have to be out loud. It can just be in your spirit. We're going to be singing during this, so if you're praying quietly, nobody's going to hear you. And if you're just praying within your spirit, God's going to hear you. So my call is to do this, to admit that you're suffering, to admit that you're rejoicing, to admit that you're sick. Stand and let the community of faith surround you and pray for you. We do life well together on Sunday mornings from 9:30 to 11, but we really learn what it means to follow Jesus as we're doing this between Sundays. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you so much for the message that you've given us this morning. It's a message that we know, but it's a message that it's good to be reminded of. God, forgive us when we question whether or not you hear our prayers. Forgive us when we think, well, maybe we're just not good enough to have our prayers answered. Forgive us when we think that only the elite, the religious elite, can have their prayers answered. Lord, remind us over and over that you want us to call out to you, and when we do, you will heal. Sometimes that'll be how we want and when we want, but other times your miracles will take time. But give us the patience, Lord, to wait and watch as the community of faith that we allow into our life prays for us, and we can see healing take place. God, we'd like to see that this morning. We'd like to see that this week. And we look forward to giving you the glory and the honor and the praise as that happens. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're gonna sing two songs during the first one, okay? If you are suffering, if you are rejoicing, if you are sick, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, any of those, just go ahead and stand right where you're at. And if somebody stands near you, stand up next to them. If they're comfortable, put a hand on their shoulder. You can pray for them. Okay, if you look around, you see somebody standing that does not have somebody near them because we're kind of thin today, go over there, walk over there, remind them that the community of faith is here to pray for them. Again, suffering, rejoicing, sick. Wherever you are, you go ahead and stand. I'll be standing. Tim will lead us, Tim and team, and in the second song, we'll all stand together.